Amen. Now, I have something to say. I want you to listen for a minute. I was really touched as Dirk shared. I'm struck with something. When we do things in our power, in our ability, it doesn't always come off well. Dirk's a very talented man. He is a brilliant man. Get to know him. But something happened when the Holy Spirit prompted two brothers. I remember when it happened because I got a phone call to pray. Where are you two? Stand up. In fact, let's see, you're both here. Come on down here. Let's pray for these guys. Here we go. Y'all call me on a morning. And you said, we're going to go over there and we're going to go see Dirk. You remember that?
Yeah.
You remember that. You know, when you all love each other and God does amazing things. and we've been praying for y'all. So, because we love you both, and I'm embarrassing you. But that's just an example of God by the Holy Spirit doing something really neat when brothers are in tune with the Holy Spirit. Y'all were in tune that day. And it wasn't KLB. What were you in tune to?
Well, Dirk owed me $20. I was just going to...
You remember calling me?
Yeah.
And y'all went over there. What? Would he come right to the door?
No. Can we talk about this back there?
No. Here's the deal. Dirk opened the worm can, and I'm just trying to bless people with some worms this morning. And God used you. Now, this is the neat thing. See these two guys? They're like me. They're both jerks. And if God can use two jerks like Randall and Mark to touch a brother at his... You said it. What was it, Dirk?
Darkest day.
It was his darkest day. I want you to know something. God can use you too. God can use you too. He really can. And in a moment, I want us to pray. We're going to, and y'all can have a seat when we finish singing. But I want to tell you a story. And this story came to me as Dirk was sharing. And Dirk, I want to say, I appreciate you so much. I love you, man. And God sent you here. I mean, I do. I love you. And I respect you. I knew Dirk. I did not know Dirk except through the newspaper, although I'd met him once or twice before. And when I was teaching high school Bible, I got to know your oldest son. And what impressed me was that as I got to know Stephen, I thought, Stephen really respects his daddy. And that had a profound impact on me. And I could not ask for a better man to lead our worship than you, Dirk. You are God's man, and God's had his hand on your life for a long time. I'm so glad you're here. I'm blessed. You are a blessing to us. And Lenita is, and your four children, and your daughter-in-law. You're a blessing. We love you. We're going to sing this in a moment. Let me tell you a story before we sing that chorus. Some years ago, one of the ladies in the church, I'm trying to see if she's here this morning. No, not yet. Sometimes people come in late. Contacted me and asked if she could bring a friend to be prayed for. You've heard this story, some of you, but I want to share it. I felt led to share it as Dirk was sharing. She said, Bob, I have a friend, and... She has terrible pain in her neck, chronic neck pain. And she has had several surgeries on her neck, but with no avail. Dick, come up and stand down here with me for a minute. That's right. Yeah. And so now we're going to get to... Let's see, it's not Larry or Mo, huh? No. Okay, all right. Just want to be sure. Anyhow, and so I called Dick. And I said, Dick, I want you to join us for prayer. We're going to pray for a lady. And So the lady in our church brought this lady into the room. Several surgeries on her neck. None successful. Terrible, debilitating pain. So the first thing I did was pray in my spirit. I realized a long time ago that when I realize I'm a fool, I get wisdom. When I realize I've got nothing to give anybody, but that God has everything that anybody ever needs, that's when I get what I need. So I prayed, Lord, give me wisdom. And God gave me a word as I prayed. And this is what came out of my mouth. How did I know this? I don't know. It was a God thing. I didn't hear a voice. But this is what I said. I said, you have bitterness in your heart towards somebody. And in a few moments, the power of the Holy Spirit is going to come in this room and you're going to be able to forgive that person. See, you don't have the ability to forgive people. Even though you're commanded to do it, you don't have that ability. I don't either. And you know, Dick, you were there that day. Is that an accurate statement? And as soon as those words are out of my mouth, she begins to weep. And I'm talking about really gut-wrenching weeping. She poured out her soul to God, weeping convulsively. And then, I don't know exactly how long that went on for a while. Wet the floor with the tears. And when she finished crying, oh, I said, I don't know whether God's going to heal you or not. That's what I said to her. I don't know whether God's going to heal you or not. But in a few moments, the power of the Holy Spirit's going to come in this room and He's going to enable you to forgive the person that hurt you. So when she finished weeping, she looked up and she said, my pain's gone. Now, is that what happened, Dick?
That's what happened.
I just want you to know that God can use people like me, like Randall, like Mark, like Dick, and like you. But sometimes they're barriers. And as we sing this chorus one more time, I just want you to ask the Lord to show you any barrier, any hindering way that's in you. Maybe somebody's got something in their craw, or you've got something in your craw. Would you ask the Lord to decraw you? Right here while you're singing. You know, God does things like that. Or let's sing and y'all can go back. God bless you. I love both of you. I love you too, Mr. Dick. Can we get that back up on the light screen there?
Verse 2. His blood,
the wine, Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah.
Be seated. Maybe somebody else has something you want to share. Embarrass somebody else. Anybody got anything to share? I was blessed by Dirk's story. Man, Dirk, you know how to bless folks. Well, the Holy Spirit knows how to bless folks. And God blessed us with your story. I remember that. Mr. Dick. There we go. Give him some power.
I'm back. Many of you know that my grandson, Robert Lucas, didn't want to obey the rules of the house that he was with my daughter, Lee. And something over a year ago, he left home. And many of you have prayed about that time. And I want to report that he ended up in the pig pen and eating the husks. And he came back home.
Yes.
And I praise God for that, because he's told me that's no way of life. I'm through with that.
Amen.
Thanks a lot.
We love you, Dick. Let's see. Terry. Now, I knew your name. I was thinking about something else.
You're wondering if God wanted me to share. It's very quick. Last week, whenever you were talking about us looking inside ourselves for any unforgiveness, you know, this came from God, because it certainly wouldn't have been my own choice. And God showed me that I was not forgiving of my children. That I was taking it personally, that their lifestyles, and one of them who's turned back on God, that it was a personal attack on me, on my beliefs, and on my mothering. This never occurred to me. I just, you know, would pour out my heart, but I did not realize how I had taken on that and not looked at it as a sin, that it was against God. But it was not because of myself. And I needed to forgive them, because I was holding this terribly against them, to the point where I just wasn't sure whether God was going to move or not. But anyway, I've been dealing with that. I'm still dealing with that. So it's a confession. It's a testimony. And it's a prayer request. But I want to thank you all for being such a lovely church.
You know, Terry, that ties in so much with what Dirk was saying. Dirk, what was your great fear again?
Of being thought a failure.
As parents, sometimes our motivation in dealing with our children is not wanting to be a failure. Even in our own eyes, you want to look good. You want to say, hey, I'm a great dad. I remember I took all those silly, but they're not silly, they're useful. Got to remember they're useful in their place. But the reason I thought they were silly was the woman who taught me child psychology. Every student on campus who knew her family knew that she had the worst behaved faculty kids. But anyhow, and the guy that taught me abnormal psych, he had never accepted his mother's death. He was the first, you know, they use the word homophobic today, and it's misused. He truly was homophobic. And as he was teaching our class in abnormal psychology back in the 60s, homosexuality was labeled a mental disorder and a disease. But he was truly homophobic, and he also was terrified of German Shepherd dogs, which, given my proclivity for prank playing, it was only the mercy of the Lord that kept me from being expelled from school for trying to pull off a prank on Dr. Claude H. Cooler, Ph.D. Anyhow, fear. I said, I'm going to be a better dad than my father. I got to tell you something. 2012, August the 12th, my dad, I can't hold a candle to him. But when you've got a standard that you're trying to live up to in your own minds, then you get all hot and bothered and upset and fretting when your kids don't do what you want them to do. That's where a spirit of control kicks in. You ever see that, Amy? Well, come on up here. No, okay.
I'll just actually just say that, you know, spoke to me, just you saying that. And, you know, I'm moving soon, but I given my testimony to some of the ladies in the church recently, and you know, there's an opportunity in the next 3 or 4 weeks in the appropriate setting. I'd love to give my testimony, but I'm just saying, you know, at 33 years old, coming to Christ after a long journey of just totally turning my back on the Lord and my family and everything, that there is hope, and you never know, you know, when someone is going to stop what they're doing and receive love. And just that being able to receive love is just part of it. And, you know, there's a blockage sometimes with children not receiving that. And I just think that that's happened to a 33-year-old child. So just encouraged by that. It's,
amen. Amen. Anybody else want to share? Nancy? Breathe through your diaphragm. And thank you, Nancy. Anybody else? I just want to say this to everybody. You know, if you're a believer, I want you to believe this. God wants to give you everything. Your children, your grandchildren, your marriage, He wants to bless you. Carl?
I want you to pray for me to get the hate out of my heart. For my kids, and my kids, as they've hurt me all these many years, and I've had sin in my life because I hate them, and I'm so sorry. Please forgive me.
Okay.
I need the Holy Spirit to take that out of me.
All right, Carl.
The hate is so hurt so bad.
Terry Carl's asking that God would take the hate out of his heart, because his kids have hurt him.
My kids and grandkids hurt me so bad for years and years, and I got to stop hating them for that.
Father God, this is a hard thing. We put as much as we know as we raise our children. We don't know if what we're doing is going to be right or going to be wrong. We don't know how they're going to respond. Father God, we do what we know to do with what we have. We thank you, Lord God, that whether we come to know you late or if we've raised the children up in the way they should go and they turn, not only against you but against us, we know, Lord God, that you're there, that you have seen everything we've ever said or done or thought about our children. You know the wrongs we've committed as parents, usually not knowing they are. You know the, even, and if we did know them, Lord God, I pray that you will forgive us for those things.
Forgive me, Father.
And Father, the children's hearts, your word says not to provoke your children to anger. And Lord, first before we can get their forgiveness, we have to ask for your forgiveness.
Amen. Yes, God.
And Father, what parent hasn't provoked their child? Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you help Lewis here in his heart to know that whatever the situations were, that you have forgiven him as he has
Amen.
Been forgiven.
Yes, sir. Yes, God.
And Father, that through his complete and total penitence to you, that Lord, he will be able to show nothing but love and kindness. And Lord, whether or not they respond the way he would like them to, that he would always give them to you, always love them in you, and try to love them as only a father can, a father in heaven. And Father, we thank you that you are our example. You don't hold back. You don't hold back love, and you don't hold back the discipline we need. But Father, you do it justly. And I do ask in the name of Jesus that his children and his grandchildren would turn their hearts to you.
Yes, Lord.
Would forgive him.
Yes, Lord.
If they have no other reason, no other understanding, that they would, through your Holy Spirit and your miraculous working of our hearts, minds, and lives and journey through this life, that you would turn their hearts back to their Father. That they could have a conversation when that's needed without anger. That they could have a time of friendship. If they can't look at him as their father, they, Lord, would look at him with friendship because of you.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, it's a hard thing to know exactly how to pray. But your Holy Spirit knows, and I pray that instead of feeling condemnation as he has repented, Lord, that he would start praising you and thanking you for his children, that he would start thinking of good times, that he would start thinking of how you want his life to be and how you want their lives to be. We thank you, Father, that we can, even in our sadness, rejoice, because you are magnificent, and in the end you are the important one. We pray for our children to be saved. We ask, Lord God, that you would take on our sins as Jesus has, Lord, but that you would throw them away as we repent. That you would use this time as a time to reach our children. In the name of Jesus, I ask, Lord God.
And Lord, go ahead.
Dear Heavenly Father, I praise you for this morning and just for what you're doing in this church and with all of our lives and filling this place with the Holy Spirit this morning and opening the mouths of babes, because we are all really babes, and your presence brings us back to, I guess, being children and knocking off those walls of that we have put around our and guarded our hearts out of hurt, anger, fear, and all of these things, that you want to strip us of those things and return us back to a babe. And your Holy Spirit is the only thing that can really allow that to happen.
Yes.
And just thank you for people being moved by the Spirit this morning and speaking, and that people are being moved by you and becoming free of past hurts and asking for your forgiveness, Lord, and that, you know, we are just to ask for your help and give you praise and give you the glory, and you have the rest. And Lord, his heart is already just being free as we speak. You are freeing this heart, and good things are going to come of this, and we don't need to even understand why or when this is going to happen.
Yes.
But good things will come of this because Amen. You say so,
mm-hmm.
and your word is truth. And Lord, thank you for the faith that you've given all of us, and
mm-hmm.
and just
Holy
this morning.
Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you, Spirit.
Now, Carl, I want to speak to you as speaking to everyone here, and not just to you. You're a Christian, Carl. Jesus loves you. I love you. We all love you. Now, this you need to hear from God Himself. Your sins are forgiven. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, Carl, you have the Holy Spirit, but I just want this for you. Receive the Holy Spirit to cleanse your mind, to lift your burden, to heal your body, to heal you of heart disease, to take away the stress and the tension and the need to control things and make everything be just absolutely right when everything just seems to go all to pieces at times. Receive the peace of God. For Jesus' sake, we love you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
What is the Holy Spirit bubbling up in you? He bubbles stuff up in us not to make us feel bad, but to make us feel good when we deal with it. What is it you need to deal with? Wow, I don't know. But Isabella knows. Yes, sir. Come on down, Dirk.
Struck by how connected it all is.
Mm.
And it seems like what God is doing is reminding us to listen and obey the voice of the Holy Spirit.
Keep Isabella in here, Paul. We love her. We're glad she's here.
Two Saturdays ago at our stainless steel fellowship in the kitchen on Saturday morning, Dick talked to us about that very thing. And he told us how Holy Spirit very specifically prompted him to do a specific thing. To talk to the two men who stood here a moment ago. And he listened and obeyed.
Mm.
And I feel like God has blessed that.
Mm.
And Dick was there when you listened to the Holy Spirit to speak to the lady with the neck problem. And those gentlemen were there to listen to the Holy Spirit to minister to me when I really needed it, was clueless. And I don't listen and obey near as much as I should, but this is important to make the connection. It was probably 3 or 4 years ago. I lose track of time. And Carl will understand this and appreciate this. Carl used to get on my nerves. And you know, Carl is gruff. I've been around it all my life, so it didn't bother me, but it was off-putting. And we're in a worship team together, and there were times when I found it hard to be around Carl. And I got convicted of that.
Hmm.
And this is very important for me. The Holy Spirit told me, and this is one time when I listened, the Holy Spirit told me that I needed to be a friend to Carl. And that one of the problems was he was just drifting through here. He seemed very much a part of what we do, but he's really not. And I think there's a bunch of you like that.
Mm.
Drift in and out, but you don't always feel connected. I had a time when I feel like Lanita had all the friends. I didn't have a single friend.
Hmm.
And now I have more than I can do with. I aggravate them all the time. But God, the Holy Spirit told me that I needed to reach out to Carl and be a friend to him. And I had no specific plan. I didn't follow a discipleship plan from a book or anything like that. I didn't want to do it. God just changed my heart. And I said, yes, I will do that. And I started to pray for Carl. And I started to reach out to Carl. And something changed. And I can say this with my hand to the sky. This is the truest testimony I can give you. That man is one of my best friends today.
Amen.
You know it's true. You know it's true. God has knit our hearts together. When I was laid up, Carl came over and we played backgammon with me. And it was a welcome relief. What I'm trying to say is the Holy Spirit connects us all together. What He's prompting us in our heart is not separate from any of these things. We don't know how it's going to connect to the rest of it. But it so touched me, Carl, to see that work in your life, because we've talked about it. We've been on that journey together. And I pray for me, Bob, that whatever's the next thing the Holy Spirit prompts me to do, that I'll listen.
Amen. Amen. Good testimony. Barbara, come on up. Or speak loudly from there.
Seen Bob and Sandy through the years. They are praying people, I can tell you that. Anytime I've needed prayer, they've done it. They've always come when we needed them and always prayed, and we thank you for that. But I feel like this.
Terry.
When we have our son over, we had our son over yesterday at our house, and we have to lock up everything for fear that he's going to be stolen. And when my daughter-in-law calls me on the phone, I think it gets in my heart. I don't even want to talk to her anymore. I don't know how to talk to her. So I need prayers too. We're all there.
Amen.
With our children. But I was reading a few minutes ago when Terry was giving her testimony. I want to read that because it just gives me hope. It was 1 Corinthians 13. Let me find that. It says, at the very bottom of it, it says about love. I need God's love.
Amen.
I need His love in my heart to be able to love them.
Amen.
I don't have that on my own. And I see that. See that. It's not right. My relationship with my daughter-in-law is not right now. But I want it to be. At the end here, it says that love suffers long, and it is kind, does not envy, and it does not parade itself, it does not puff up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, it is not provoked, and thinks no evil. Wow. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, but it bears all things. That's the thing.
Amen.
Sometimes we have to bear a lot.
Mm.
But here at the end, I love this. It says, believes all things and hopes all things and endures all things. Love never fails. Thank God for His word.
Amen.
And I want Him to make that true and a reality in my life.
Well, Barbara, I'm going to speak to you as I spoke to Carl for everybody. God's going to give you what you're asking for. Now, when we pray according to God's will, and His Word shows us His will, and healing of relationships is the greatest miracle. the greatest miracle we can ever see. It's better than parting of the Red Sea. Because when God restores relationships at every level, then we'll never be divided, even in eternity. And God's going to give it all to you, Barbara. You got to believe that and hold on to it. Jenny?
Actually, I wanted to really much to say that because, you know, God has been just really dealing with me of, you know, having hatred in my heart and having not forgiving a certain individual and what he has done to me and my children. And it's hurt me so much. And I'm just, you know, what God did.
I'm going to speak to you, Jenny, as I spoke to that lady that day. The power of the Holy Spirit is going to come in this room, and He's going to give you the ability to forgive what you cannot forgive by your own strength. Sherry?
I have sat here and tried not to speak.
Well, come on out here. I got a short leash.
Excuse me. You want me to find
Yeah, one? Sure. Come on down. Okay. Actually, that one works better.
I have listened, and the Holy Spirit has connected every testimony, every word, every prayer. And I sat there and said, oh, Holy Spirit, time is getting short. I don't really need to share this. And then I heard the last two. I heard Carl. And I feel that I have a word based on something that has happened in my life. Grief is a journey that you don't choose, but when you're thrown on the road of grief, Satan is standing close by to create havoc. Now, grief, Carl, does not have to be the loss, the physical loss of someone. It can be the emotional loss of your children, your friends, your family. The family is one unit that Satan is always ready to disrupt, to create not only havoc, but to put lies in families, to keep them from serving God as a family. The individual service of each one in a family may not be questioned, but the unity of the family together, Satan stands close by to see what he can do to disrupt harmony in the family. In the year plus that I have been grieving, my baby boy, the one that God showed me when he was 5 years old, was playing football in the yard. He ran in to say, Mama, I want to accept Jesus. So he was only five. Mm. And I thought, well, we'll pray about this. We'll talk about this. We'll talk with the pastor Sunday morning. He said, no, I want to do it right now.
Amen.
So at 5 years old, I talked to him about what it meant. We knelt at the bed. He received Jesus as his Savior. As he walked down that hall, the Lord says to me in my spirit, there goes a diamond in the rough. I will shape him, I will cut him, and I will polish him to become the vessel that I have called him to be. My heart has always been very tender toward that third son. I've always felt like perhaps, you know, you don't love one child more than the other, but I felt a bigger responsibility of connection to him. He is the one that spoke at his daddy's service that day. He does not show emotion or grief. And he has handled this grief journey very differently. At times I felt like he was even not only bewildered but mad at God. We stood on the word. We prayed the word. We believed that God was true to his word. But in the end, you always have to say the sovereignty of God trumps any prayer God has a timeline established for all of us. My son has had a real difficulty with that and even made the statement, you know, how can I tell people God heals when my daddy is not here? And I knew he was hurting. But what grief does, what sadness does, what tribulation does in families is divide us. And it also causes us to treat each other, holding things in, but getting those little barbs in. And this has kind of been the state of my son, Chad. The one that I have been so connected to all of these years in the spirit has been the one that has held in his grief and put out his barbs toward his mom. Many of you know that I am making plans to move back home to Ruston. And I depend on my children there to be a strong support for me. And it's been a real bother to me because we make mistakes when we grow up. I raised all of our children. Elton and I raised our children to know the Lord, love the Lord, serve the Lord, speak the word, understand spiritual warfare, and know what to do about it when they are under attack. But because Chad has always been the one that's just pulled things in, rather, the only person he really talked to was his dad. And so what has transpired over this past year plus is that almost every time he sees me, I'm a reminder, his daddy is not here. And the enemy will take that in our children, tribulation, separation, sadness, whatever, and use it to put things in his mind. So the culmination of this is, through the process of, he is a contractor building on my house, he has internalized some things from the enemy that are not true. And I wasn't aware of that, only to know that he was not treating me with respect like he should. And he was taking out his barbs on his mom. In the past week or two, it has come very strongly to my attention through the Holy Spirit and through conversations with my daughter-in-law that the enemy has put some things, and Carl, the enemy will do this to your children, any of you. The enemy will place thoughts in your children's minds that are not true. But to them, it's real. And then you are the recipient of the emotion of that. But when we recognize that it is the enemy who is at work in our lives, it is not what we have done or not done, but those things that the enemy places in our children's mind become what we have not done or done to them or not done for them in their minds. So I was so perturbed about the things that he had internalized. And one statement he made to his wife really just floored me. Now, I'm a strong person, and we always made our children do what was right, whether they understood what was right. And all of my four, Chad was the one who stayed grounded in high school more than any other, but he understood the reason why. And the one thing that I always did was told my children every day I loved them. I wanted them all to know every night before they went to bed. But all of that, I'm saying all of that to say, you may be doing everything right and making mistakes, but the enemy will take some of those things and distort them. One statement that my daughter-in-law told me that he said was, I have never been able to please my mother since I was 20 years old. That floored me. I had no idea. And the enemy took what was meant for good, and in raising your children, distorted that in a child's mind. I love him so much I can't hardly stand it. So here's what I'm suggesting for you to pray about. The Holy Spirit instructed me to write a letter to my child, telling him how much I loved him, how much I depended on him, how proud I was of him, how I had watched him over the years face challenges that none of my other children did, and it made him the man God is creating him to be. Remember the polish and the cutting, making, the Lord told me at 5 years old, I'm going to polish him. He had many challenges, many things happened to him as a football player that other people never had to endure. Emotional hurts, physical hurts.
But God was using all of those things to make him what he was.
Amen.
I said, Chad, I've watched you go through challenges that other people have never faced, and it has made you into who you are today, an overcomer. I said some very strong things to him to build him up, to let him know who he was. He is this person in Christ. But what I'm saying to you is the enemy will take those good things and distort. He'll pour lies into your children.
Mm.
So here's what I'm suggesting. The Holy Spirit wrote a 3-page letter to my precious child.
Mm.
I started out by saying, this is to tell you how much I love you. Love is a strong thing. It's a powerful thing that God uses. God's love to us can never be surpassed. The ultimate love was what God did when he gave Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross for us. Mm. Can mothers love their children as much as that? Can mothers love their children? A heart of a mother has the kind of love that no one ever knows.
Mm.
So I'm suggesting that you pray about connecting with your child through words, through written words. Sometimes the enemy uses spoken words to distort and create emotions.
Mm.
But when you allow the Holy Spirit to flow through your hand and your spirit as you write what you wish you could have said to your child or wish you had done, it will be an amazing thing.
Mm.
God is already at work.
Amen.
He's not even received the letter yet, but let me tell you, God's already at work. Prayers, obedience to Christ will bring the desired result that God wants to accomplish in our life. We're going into a time of tribulation in this nation.
Yes.
Families have got to stand together.
Yes.
If there's anything that needs to be said or unsaid, we need to take care of it.
Yes.
Because we have got to stand in this nation as families, Christian families, where love is unconditional,
yes,
where there's forgiveness that flows no matter what. Now, the things that I'm telling you are things that I was not even aware about. It was perceived. It was not at all my intention, but it doesn't matter. The devil is the king of deception.
Yes.
And if he can use deception to put into your children or friends or family, he will. So I just ask you to examine what God is going to do through you and what he wants you to do and be obedient to do it, because God will honor your obedience.
Amen.
Praise God for what he's doing.
We love you, Sherry.
Thank you so much, Bob. I didn't mean to take so much.
Oh, that's all right. Meryl, you wanted to say something?
I just want to say how encouraged I am this morning. And I really do feel that the Lord has taken over.
Amen. I still have 5 minutes I need.
You got 5 minutes.
Okay.
I'm going to do something that I've not done before, but I'm going to read the scripture again that I read.
Amen.
I want you to listen to it if you were not here. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. And we heard that this morning. They looked to him, and they were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his trouble. And we have heard that this morning.
Hmm.
The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him, and he delivers them.
Hmm.
And that is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. We love you, Meryl. Come here, give me a hug. I might even give you a holy kiss. Oh! All right. I need 5 minutes. Give me 5 minutes. Turn with me, in your Bibles, to my last point of my sermon. which has been made so eloquently, all the other points, by those who have spoken. And particularly, Sherry. Where are you, Sherry? Okay. You made my points here, so I want to give you the last point of the sermon. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 2, page 1367. This is the third sub-point of point 3. Takes 5 minutes. I've been shaving it while people were speaking. Page 1367. It fits in so well, particularly with Sherry's final remarks there. Verse 24, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." I want to read you a couple of definitions of some of the Greek words because I think they're really important. He says the servant of the Lord, and of course he's thinking here of Timothy, who is a pastor. But I want you to understand something. All these folks that spoke today are all servants of the Lord, just like you. God wants to speak through you. He wants you to get this word inside you so it can come out of you. Notice he says here that he must not quarrel. It's the basic Greek word for fighting, conflict. God's will is not conflict in your life. When you engage people, it's not to stir them up or stir yourself up. Then he says something else. He says, but be gentle to all. And that's pretty self-explanatory. It's a basic kindness. Pray before you speak, particularly to your family, that you be kind and that your kindness will just smell. It'll just come out like B.O., but a really pleasant odor. It'll come out like a fine perfume. Your kindness will just come out of your pores. And then he goes on and he says, able to teach. I want to tell you that a basic ability to teach the Word has been given to every child of God. I think we saw that today. If you're in the Word, you're going to get that ability to share that Word with others. Because the first person you've got to share the Word with, and you need to do it daily, is yourself. That's what meditation involves. Then he says, patient. And that one is a little fuller word. Let me give you what it says. It pertains to bearing evil without resentment. It's commonly what we call being tolerant. Tolerance doesn't mean that you agree with everything everybody says. There are a lot of fool things people are saying. Tolerance is that you don't get your dander up. You don't let yourself get angry and frustrated. He says, bearing evil without resentment. And then he goes on and he says in verse 25, in humility. And this is a great word. Let me read this definition to you three times. That is the quality of not being overly impressed by a sense of one's self-importance. You want to write this down. The word that is translated in verse 25, humility, is the quality of not being overly impressed by a sense of one's self-importance. Some synonyms are gentleness, humility, courtesy, considerateness, meekness in the older favorable sense. So again, what's the definition of that word? That word that's translated in verse 25 in humility is the quality of not being overly impressed by a sense of one's self-importance. Do you see that theme today as people were up here? I was struck as Terry was sharing. It was the barrier in her parenting was taking herself too seriously. How are these kids reflecting on me? You think that's a problem for Terry? Let me tell you, that is a pastor's number one problem when it comes to family. Because unlike Terry, who won't get fired, preachers get fired by how their families act. And it creates an enormous pressure in the modern church, which is somewhat biblical and somewhat not biblical. So that quality of not being overly impressed by a sense of one's self-importance. He goes on. He says, in that humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Now notice this last part. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. If I could get one lesson across to every parent and to myself constantly to walk in. It's this. Unless the Spirit of God moves, you ain't going to do nothing. You can whip their butts till they're bloody. You're not going to change them and break the will. You can follow Dr. Spock or Dr. Shock. It doesn't affect them. You can cry and manipulate. You know, the parents that don't spank are just super manipulators. You can make them so neurotic they end up becoming psychotic. Look here, I'm telling you. If I could give you one lesson and one lesson only in life, and if I could give one lesson to every preacher, to everybody who ever engages a non-Christian on Facebook, it's this. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Otherwise, you think, I can whip them by my logic. You cannot. You think that, you're just being dumb. You see, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so they may know the truth. They don't have the ability to turn on their own, and you don't have the ability to turn them. But God can do it. And now here's why. Verse 26. That they may come to their senses. What does that mean? If you're not in your senses, what are you? You're insane. You're out of touch with reality. You're a little nuts. Okay? That they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. What does that mean? That means that's exactly what Sherry was talking about. With the best of intentions, you're putting things in your children's minds, and the devil is translating them into another language. You ever think about that? You're speaking things into your children's minds and hearts, and the devil is translating them into another language. You're speaking in your love language. They're hearing it in their hate language. Do you think that he can do that? Oh, absolutely. That they may come to their senses, escape the snare. What's a snare? That's a trap. That's a trap. So when you get into dealing with folks that are in opposition to the biblical gospel, in opposition to biblical morality, in opposition to a biblical world and life view, you've got to understand something. You'll never out-argue people. So what do? You got to deal with everybody like you're dealing with Muslims. In case you read the little essay I wrote. You got to deal with everybody like you're dealing with Muslims. Muslims are tough to deal with. Muslims are trained to believe that Christians are guilty of the most serious sin there is on the face of the planet. Because you elevate Jesus to be at the right hand of God. To be God. Incarnate. It's the greatest of all sins. They're steeped in it. They believe it is God's will to force you to stop doing what you're doing. And any honest Muslim will tell you that he thinks exactly the way that Dr. Ahmadinejad thinks. But not all Muslims are honest because the Quran encourages deception. But all of our folks that appear to be allied with us, you want to talk about something? They're allied against Israel. You cannot be a true Muslim and be pro-Israel. And you cannot be a true Muslim and be pro-Christian. And you cannot be a true Muslim and believe in basic toleration of religion the way we have in America. You cannot be. So how do you deal with Muslims? Just like you need to deal with your son or daughter. Your grandchild, your husband, your wife, your parents, whoever you got in opposition. Here's how he says it. He says, because they're in the snare of the devil and they've been taken captive by him to do his will. So the closing words, this was my last point. This was actually what I was going to conclude my sermon with. is this. It's realize that you can't do it. But God can. And God wants to do it. God wants to save the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And God loves your children. I'll be God to you and to your children after you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your family. And Peter on the day of Pentecost said, "For the promise is unto you and to all and to your children." The promise is unto you. He said this on Pentecost Sunday. The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And seeing if He doesn't call, they'll stay in the trap. So you got to pray. Because when God's people pray, the Holy Spirit calls. And if He doesn't ring the doorbell, they ain't answering it. And when you try to argue with them and speak to them and all this stuff, "Oh, they got it, you can't just let them." No, no. You're not doing a blessed thing. You got to pray for them. And then only speak when you know you're supposed to speak. Because there's a time, Ecclesiastes 3. Well, that's my last point of my sermon. Thanks for preaching, all you all. I got about 90% of the sermon off by other people. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Are you blessed? I want to say one more time. That's what I'm going to say here to Barbara. You're going to have it all. You're going to have it all. God wants to save your son. All your grandkids. Your great-grandkids. You're going to have it all. Believe the promises of God. All right, Dirk, lead us in song, unless somebody has something else to say before we go.
Worship team, you can stay where you are. We're just Carol plays a G. God is good, amen.
Amen. All the time.
Let's stand.